Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, fed but firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez and co-host John Zimmel for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Three fight. I'm Joe Cortez, fed but firm.
Welcome to the Fed but Firm Show here in Las Vegas, Nevada, the boxing capital of the world. My co-host today is my dear friend, Mr. Vincent, Jason Vincent. Jason Vincent is an amateur referee. He did a little bit of amateur boxing in his days when he was a little younger. Now he's an old man now, trying to catch up to me.
Yeah, right. If I can look as good as you, if I can be as handsome as you, I'll be doing okay.
You'll catch up to me eventually. You'll lose some of that hair, though.
Oh, man, it's coming out. It's coming.
Anyway, so we're here talking about boxing. We want to talk a little bit about this past weekend. You had some fights in the amateurs here in Vegas. Can you tell me a little bit about your tournaments?
Yeah, we actually, it was a two-day event. It wasn't a tournament. It was a two-day event at Richard Steele's Boxing Gym Foundation, right, over there here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And, man, that was a huge success. You know, I think they had about 25 or 30 bouts each day. I think they had a total of 50 bouts in 2 days.
Wow.
We had people come in from California, Arizona, Utah. Obviously, all our local kids here were, you know, a lot of them had a chance to compete on a card in the event, and it was a huge success.
That's pretty good, because only about 6 weeks ago, you had something here in Vegas, too.
We had something here. I mean, Vegas, really, right now, I mean, we are really picking up a lot of steam and headed down the final stretch of the year here, and we're getting two or three events per month. You know, really? The month of October, we have an event October 4th at the Santa Fe Hotel.
Wow.
That's at 6 p.m. at the Santa Fe Hotel. And then on October 19th, we have two shows on the same night. Coach Jose Banales, who was on your show once upon a time ago, has a group of guys coming in from Ireland. And then we have Fernando Vargas, the Battle of the Badges. So all the Navy, Marines, Border Patrol, police, firemen, they all get in there and battle it out.
And where those fights going to be held at?
I'm not sure on Coach Banales' yet. I'll update you on that. But Fernando Vargas' is at the Union Plaza Hotel, and that's October 19th. So we have October 4th at the Santa Fe Hotel, and then we have two October 19th, one of them being the Battle of the Badges at the Union Plaza Hotel.
The Union Plaza is downtown Las
Vegas.
Downtown
Las Vegas, yes.
Yeah, very
downtown.
Good.
So it's the second year they've had the Badges. This will be the second year they've had the Battle of the Badges here, and it's a really fun event. Like I said, it's firemen, Border Patrol, police, Army versus Navy, Marines, Air Force. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
You think a lot of these fans are going to be going against the Border Patrol guys, maybe, yeah?
Right. Well,
you're going to get a lot of Mexican fans that go to the fights.
They might have a smaller rooting section over there, too. But you have correctional officers, too. But they're fun fights. It's kind of brothers in arms. It's a huge camaraderie. They get the color guard and the band and the bagpipes, and they put on a great show. I was fortunate enough to get together with the guys that originated this in San Diego. And I went for Father's Day weekend, this past Father's Day weekend, I went to the USS Midway in San Diego Harbor, the aircraft carrier.
Right.
And they had the Battle of the Badges. They had the ring, the boxing ring, on top of the flight deck up there. Right. And they did the event up there. It was really special. I was able to bring my family. It was a great memory.
Well, that was good. That was great. Now, talking about boxing, and I from amateur going into the pros, this coming weekend, we have fights coming up at the Staples Center in L.A. We have actually, two of the great welterweights, the outstanding welterweights, Sean Porter versus Errol Spence Jr. Sean Porter is a welterweight, 31 years of age, and he's 5'7", with a reach of 69 and a half inches. He has 30 wins, 2 losses, and 1 draw. His 2 losses happen to be against 2 top fighters, 2 former champions, Keith Thurman and Kell Brook. And he had that 1 draw against Alfonso Gomez in the middle of his career. And then he's the two-time world champion. He was the IBF champion in 2013 to 2014. And he lost against Kell Brook in United Kingdom in 2014. Then 2018, he came back and won the WBC welterweight championship against Danny Garcia, which was an outstanding win for Sean Porter. But he fought against Ugas, a Cuban, in his last fight. And he kind of didn't look as sharp as he did when he beat Danny Garcia. Got to make sure that he looks sharp Saturday night against Errol Spence Jr. I mean, BoxRec has Sean Porter ranked as the fourth best in boxing, and the Ring Magazine has him ranked number 5, top fighter. And he had the style that he has. He has an aggressive, pressure-type style, very physical strength. He uses a lot of angles, high rate. And he had an outstanding amateur career with 276 wins and 14 losses. And he played football in high school. So he was always very athletic. You know, he always had it. Always wanted to do something.
He was an athlete.
He's an athlete. He wanted to be a football player, but he didn't have the height. But he had the speed. He can run.
Well, and he trains here locally, too, right? Yeah. He does. He trains here locally. I know he, you know, we always see him out running and doing his sprints and his road work and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, he's very dedicated to the sport. And shout out to Sean Porter, his beautiful wife. And he has a good-looking little boy he has.
Yeah.
He has a little boy, and I can see that little boy become a little boxer himself. I'm sure he's already. Right. I'm sure Daddy's already teaching him some of the tricks of the game already.
You got to get him down here to the Nevada Hall of Fame with Uncle Joe to hit the pads or the mitts or something.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. We had a short porter here at the Nevada Hall of Fame. We had the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame almost every week to do a show here. We're within the Heads Up Museum. This is a trick art museum. You may hear some people in the background. They're throwing axes against a target in one of the back rooms. You don't hardly hear it, but that happens here every week. And we're at the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame facility. It's an interactive museum. You can put on the gloves, come in the ring in where we are right now. They have the heavy bag, the speed bag. You can see all the...
That's a double M bag, all the memorabilia here.
All the memorabilia,
In itself,
It's a great experience. You come to the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. It's the only Hall of Fame in the country besides the International Hall of Fame up in Kansas, New York. But within the states, as far as states, Boxing Commission, Boxing Hall of Fame, this is the first one. And it has to be the first because this is the boxing capital of the world. But we made sure we got in here first. Hopefully, they'll be opening up other museums around the country like we did here in Las Vegas. And now, so Sean Porter is fighting Errol Spence Jr. He's the IBF welterweight champion. He's 5'10". He's a little taller than Sean Porter. He has a 72-inch reach, 29 years of age. He's young. 25 wins with 21 knockouts, 0 losses. And he has wins over notable fighters like Mikey Garcia, which was his last fight, Lamont Peterson, Kell Brook. Kell Brook is a fighter who beat Sean Porter for the welterweight title.
Yes.
So, I mean, so Porter loses to Kell Brook. Errol Spence takes the title from Kell Brook. So, and that tells you a little something. So, you know, Errol Spence Jr. is a favorite for the fight Saturday night, even though you hear a lot of talk about how Sean Porter used to, you know, teach him a little bit when he was coming up in the amateurs. When he went for the Olympic trials 2012, they had Sean Porter because Kenny Porter's father was a trainer for the Olympic team. So they put Sean in there, and Sean sparred with Errol Spence Jr. 2 to 4 rounds from what I read. And Sean Porter said he learned a lot, but he says he got a going to have his hands full against me Saturday
night. They go back a little bit, like you said, back, and they've sparred and all that, too.
Yeah,
so,
well, you know what it is? Sometimes when you spar with somebody, you always keep that in your head. You remember what you did to them. And I wonder, subconsciously, Errol Spence Jr. will say, you know, yeah, this guy's going to be a little tough, you know. I mean, he fought Keith Thurman. And Keith Thurman, a lot of people thought that he beat Keith Thurman. And it was a close decision. As a matter of fact, I worked a corner with Sean Porter that night at the Barclays Center in New York. And I thought it could have gone either way. You know, Sean, I accepted the win.
It was a close fight.
Keith Thurman, but it was two fighters in a telephone booth. That's where they were fighting.
Sean Porter, he comes after you. He just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. And he makes great adjustments, too.
Yeah.
He does make great adjustments.
Real quick.
Errol Spence has his hands full, but I think, you know, Sean Porter is going to have his hands full too with the height and the reach distance, and then being the southpaw and the orthodox stance, you have that open stance, so there's a little more distance there.
That's right. And that can make it a little difficult. But I'm sure that Sean Porter has been around for a while, so he's been learning how to deal with the southpaws. But he's been ranked, Errol Spence has been ranked fifth pound for pound by Box Rec and the Ring Magazine. He's been an outstanding amateur, winning three National Golden Glove Championships from 2009 to 2011. So he has a good background, you know. He turned pro after his loss in the Olympic Games, the 2000 Olympic Games. And this fight at the Staples Center, September 28, will probably be fight of the year.
I'm excited about it. I can't wait. I think both of them are great athletes, great pedigrees, great boxers, great amateur careers. Like I said, just great all-around athletes. And I'm really looking forward to this fight. I really am.
Yeah. No question about it. And you also have a great undercard. You know, you have Anthony Darrell. They call him the dog, and he's a super middleweight, 168 pounds. champion, two-time WBC champion. He has 33 wins with 24 KOs, one loss and one draw. His pro debut was in January 2003. So, he's been pretty decent. When he won his first world championship in 2014, and then he held it up until February 2000. Well, he won it again February 2019, and now he's fighting David Benavidez. David Benavidez, they call him Red Flag.
He's a beast. That guy's a beast, man.
He's 22 years young. I can't say old, 22 years young. And but according to Box Rec, September 2018, he tested positive for cocaine. Ooh. So he was stripped of his title because of that positive testing. I tell you, young guys, keep yourself clean. Don't let nothing be focused and keep yourself grounded. Now he has a brother, Jose Benavidez, who's also, I believe, he's the 154-pound champion, and he's good at it. Benavidez has 21 wins, 18 KOs. And no losses, so he's a decent super middleweight champion. He held the title from September 17 through October 2018. Then he got stripped for the testing positive. Now that's one of the things, Vincent, Jason, that these fighters, they, what is it? How come they go into drugs and they start doing the wrong thing? What's going on with that?
I think there can be all sorts of reasons for that. I think a lot of them is just, you were a boxer and a fighter yourself. All the hard work and everything you put in and day out, you live in the gym, you live for training, you're always traveling to tournaments. And I think a lot of times, a few different things, but I think you kind of miss out on being a young man or a young woman in the sport because you're dedicated and you're giving up a lot of your life to the sport. And then also, I think the social environment. A lot of people are boxing to make a living and obviously make money. And I think sometimes, they can get a little carried away. Things can spiral out of control, Joe. And I think, when the money starts coming in and the fame and notoriety and all that come in, I think, you're a young person. Your mind's still young. You're still developing. And you're going to make mistakes. And I think that happens.
Yeah.
It's something that happens.
Yeah. And we've had a number of world champions that have tested positive for one thing or another, maybe performing and enhancing drugs and not the cocaine or the weed or whatever they test positive for is not needed in sport. You want to be a good fighter, you keep yourself on the right track. You always got to keep yourself, focused and all that discipline. You got Canelo Alvarez, who's another top-notch fighter, and he's going up two weight classes to fight oh my God, he's going to fight this. It's going to be a tough one for him.
Yeah.
You're going to be fighting the Russian fighter?
Oh,
Kovalov.
Kovalov, yeah. Oh, man, that's...
Maybe you could be fighting Kovalov.
I'm really interested in that one, man. He has me fighting Kovalov. Yeah, I can't wait to see that one.
I mean, I find that to be kind of strange for Canelo to go up from 154, and go up to... Became middleweight champion after he was... He's not that tall. He's only about 5'9".
He's not a tall guy.
And you're going to fight Kovalov, who's about 5'11".
6 foot, yeah, right around 6 foot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Canelo's already come up. He's already come up a few weight classes already, too. So now you're going up even more weight classes.
Going up another two weight classes. I think he's winning. I think more for to have a record. He wants to compete with his own countrymen.
Yeah.
Like, not Chavez, but I mean, other fighters have gone up in weight. I mean, Juan Manuel Marquez went up from super featherweight up to a welterweight champion, but these guys, I don't know, don't win all these titles. I mean, it can't be like Manny Pacquiao. There's only one Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, it goes up eight weight classes.
Go up eight weight classes. Talk about Manny Pacquiao, he's still in the mix with the welterweight, the hotbed of welterweight.
Yes, because he is. He beat Keith Thurman.
He beat Keith Thurman. They say he was the best in the welterweight division. What happened? He beat Keith Thurman. So, I mean, Manny Pacquiao, and I interviewed him after one of his recent fights, and he told me, I said, how many more fights are you going to go before you pack it in? He said, I'm going to be a couple of more years, two or three more years.
That was a great fight for him, beating Keith Thurman like that. Yeah. That surprised me a little bit, and Manny Pacquiao always seems to surprise you. But for his age, to take on that type of a challenge, that young dog like that, per se, and and to put on a great performance. I won't say it's his greatest performance, but I'm saying it's got to be up there in one of his greatest performances because of his age.
You know, every time he's in a fight, you know, Manny Pacquiao, when he comes to a fight, you know you're going to see a fight.
Oh, man, they're awesome.
I remember refereeing him against Wander Marquez. He put Marquez down 3 times in the first round. I keep talking about that all the time because Manny Pacquiao, it happens to be one of the great ones today. And I said, I had the honor of refereeing Manny Pacquiao on 3 occasions. And I can tell you that when he fought Wander Marquez, he put Marquez down 3 times in that first round. I would have stopped that fight. Nobody would have said anything. But I saw something in Wander Marquez, and I felt that he still had a little spark of the old flash. I said, he got knocked down the first round, but he still looked fresh. If that, those 3 knockdowns would have occurred, let's say in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th round, I probably would have stopped it. Because he would have been in the war all those rounds. But the first round, he came back. He was pretty strong at the end of the first round. Then he won the next scorecard of 3 judges. He won the next 6, 7 rounds.
Yeah.
Ended up getting a draw.
Isn't that neat as a referee and at your level, but even in the amateurs, where you're ready to stop a bout, but you just see something in that boxer and you let it go on just a little bit more, even though you're really keeping an eye on them for their safety.
Yeah.
And they pull through the fight, and they end up putting on a great performance and pulling through. And in the amateurs, it's 3 rounds, and they go to a decision, and you're glad you didn't stop it on some occasions. Some occasions, you know, you're glad you did stop it, so, you know, there's no injury or further injury to the boxer. But the ones that you don't stop, that make you glad you didn't stop it, and it turns out to be a great fight.
Exactly. Now, you know, you also have, you can't forget, you have Terrence Crawford, who's really in the mix. Terrence Crawford, Manny Pacquiao. So we're going to have maybe the winner next Saturday night. We'll have a shot at Manny Pacquiao or Terrence Crawford. Sure.
That's another great fight. Yeah, they're just lining up. The dominoes are falling. They're lining up.
But you have the rival promoters and the network. You'll have to decide. But it doesn't look like the fight could happen anytime soon. But Manny Pacquiao is definitely in the mix. You know, and you have the lightweight division. Of course, the lightweight division, you have Devin Haney. You know, whom I'm an advisor on his team. It's an honor to be involved with Devin Haney because he is now the mandatory challenger against Vasily Lomachenko.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
And I can tell you guys one thing is that Devin Haney is in lightweight division, but I can see him going into the super lightweight 140 and then welterweight 147. You know, they're going to be, if some of these guys are still around, you'll see a good mix at the welterweight division.
There's a lot of great fights on the horizon. Yeah. There really is.
But Vasily Lomachenko, he's a 3-time world champion. And, you know, he's a
2-time Olympic gold medalist.
He had over 300-some amateur
fights. Almost 400 amateur fights.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you also have an up-and-coming Teofimo Lopez. You have Cervantes Davis.
Yes.
You know, who?
Tank Davis.
Now, Tank Davis moved up to 135 pounds. He made that decision. Whereas Mickey Garcia, whose last fight was against Errol Spence Jr., he's still undecided whether he's going to stay at 135 or move up to 140. He gave up 2 of his belts, and those belts are right now are vacant. That's where these guys like Teofimo Lopez is fighting for one of those vacant titles. So let's see, you know, what happens in the after the dust settles. You know, I mean, it's going to be
there's a lot of great, like I said, there's a lot of great mixtures and a lot of great fights that can, you know, possibly happen.
I'm excited
for the future, man. That's awesome.
There's a lot of good things happening in boxing. I think 2019 was better than 2018.
Yes.
And 2018 was a good year with so many great fights. But this year, you know, going back a little bit, the other 2 weeks ago, we had Tyson Fury.
Who fought
Otto Wayland.
Yeah.
I mean, Tyson Fury, he's fighting Deontay Wilder in December.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Tyson Fury didn't show me much in this fight.
Yeah, I was expecting a little bit more. I don't know if you underestimated. I'd never want to say that. I don't ever think you underestimate somebody. But, it was a lot closer fight than I thought. And then he came out busted up pretty good. He had those 2 big gashes on his eye. And they were supposed to fight in January or February. And, he has to get with a plastic surgeon. It could be a little bit longer because those were some pretty vicious cuts in his eye.
Yeah. Especially the one up on the one on the top was a little bit.
Right in the brow.
Right. It's not going to take a little while to heal because you can't spar.
Yeah.
Do it because you be in the gym working out, but you can't spar in the gym unless you put on a big headgear with a mask covers. They have to have headgear protectors that he can spar, but it's going to be have to wait a while. But I think that what happened in that fight was that he he changed his style because of he was not thinking. He was more worried about the cuts. Maybe the referee was stopping or the doctor was stopping.
That could be, yes.
But they went into the corner on numerous occasions, so he was probably not focused. And he didn't have plan B.
Yeah.
And that's what I told trainers. Sometimes I said, you got to train the trainers. What the hell were they doing? What did they tell them? Listen, why don't you go out there now and maybe turn southpaw if you have to, or just do something different, but don't go out the same way. He was too worried about all that blood coming down.
There was a lot of blood, you know, going into his eye, too. Yeah.
And the referee, Tony Weeks, I've been two fights. I've seen him right into
the shirt.
I'm going to call him Tony Weeks a butcher.
Right? Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But I've been so much blood in that fight.
Tony Weeks such a nice guy, too. I've had an opportunity a few times to practice training, refereeing with him over at Center Ring Boxing out there. That's where he goes and does their sparring session, yeah. So he gets his work in. And he's such a sweet guy and such a generous guy. But, yeah, two fights now where his shirt's covered in blood.
Yeah. Matter of fact, we have one of the not the shirt, but a big photo, picture. Big poster of a shirt that he wore several months last year, earlier this year. Earlier this year.
He did
year.
The Jack
Bota.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he got that shirt was also full of blood. Jack Bota had a cut right in the middle of his forehead.
Biggest cut I've ever seen in boxing. That was huge, man.
I was surprised that they didn't stop it.
Oh, that was a huge
cut. That fight would have been a 4-6 round, 8 round fight. They would have
stopped it.
Only because of the championship fight. It made no difference
to me.
Even
the Tyson Fury, those cuts were deep. Those were huge cuts.
I was afraid they were going to stop the fight.
Yeah, those were huge. And it's not like he had one, he had two, and it was going right into the eye and all that, too.
Yeah,
so.
it was impairing his vision, that's for sure. No. And I thought to myself, wow, if they stop this fight, they go to the rematch down the drain.
Yeah.
And Bob Arum was sitting right behind me. I could see he was like,
biting
his nails. He's, oh my God, are we going to lose this? Are the doctor going to stop it? The referee going to stop it?
Yeah,
you know, but that happens in boxing. You got to be prepared for the unexpected.
Anything
you
can happen.
You got to have Plan B ready at all times. Yeah. Okay. So tell me, which some of the great fights that you've seen throughout your career? That you started in the amateurs, and then you're amateur referee.
So amateur referee. I mean, I was born and raised here. Growing up here, and we were our family was a fight fan. Family, you know, we had HBO and the USA Network, and we saw all those great fights. Some of my boxers that I liked growing up was Boom Boom Mancini was one of my favorite. Boom Boom, and obviously Mike Tyson, and there's just so many. Marvin Hagler and Sugar Ray, you know, those were probably my top four, boxers, fighters that
I grew up with. Well, you have behind us here, you have Lennox Lewis, you have Mike Tyson, and Oscar De La Hoya. Those are, three great fighters right there. You know, and it so happens that I just happened to put him up there this morning for our show. But I can tell you one thing. I look at it, I say, oh, my God, wait a minute. I referee these three guys behind us. You know, it's such an honor, sometimes I got to pinch myself. I can't believe that. I referee some of these great fighters, and that's what I do with referees, a young referee like Jason, who's an up-and-coming referee. Maybe one day we'll get you ready for the pros as well.
I got a lot to learn. Once you think you kind of have a little bit of a hang of it, you realize you don't, no matter how much I get in that rule book and read it and get my practice reps in and go to events and get my work in, there's always something new. It's always a challenge. Something new always arises, or you're always thinking, and, there's so many things going on.
There's a lot of things that go on during the fight. I mean, all fights are different, and you never know what's going to happen. Just when you think you saw something, something else new pops in.
All the time.
All the time. And I tell you, there's always room for improvement. I don't care how good of a referee you are, you always learn something new. I know I did up until the end. There's something always occurs. Either the guy gets hit while he's down, or a guy gets a cut. Was it intentional? I even remember taking points from Mike Tyson for intentionally headbutting his opponent.
Yes.
And that was his last fight against Kevin McBride in Washington, D.C. That was Mike Tyson's last fight. But I remember refereeing him against Larry Holmes and against other fighters, Marvis Fraser, James
Quick. You did the Mike Tyson, Larry Holmes? You refereed that one?
Yeah.
Where he knocked out Larry Holmes.
In the fourth round. When he went down the second time, I didn't even bother to count.
His legs were wobbling.
He was wobbling. He could barely stand on his 2 feet. He was chasing him around the ring, and then he caught him. Larry Holmes tried to throw a punch. He got caught up on the ropes, and then Mike Tyson hit him with a left foot, boom, and put him down. And I said, that's it. Yeah. Waved it off.
That's got to be so intense as a professional referee, like he had mentioned, you know, Manny Pacquiao, Marquez, and he putting him down three times in the first round. And as a referee, I mean, as a pro referee with all the media and the cameras and in the stadium, I mean, the intensity and the adrenaline going through is unreal. It's unexplainable.
Right, and you gotta be a good thinker on your feet, you know, because you never know what's going to be coming next. But that you have to be prepared. That's why I like to study and just create different scenarios in my head. But what can occur in the fight, and that's when I get referees together before the fight. Let's warm up and talk about different scenarios, just so I have it fresh in our mind. Because if it happens that night, we just finished talking about it before we started work that night. So I tell Bob Bennett, the executive director here, and this is something that I started doing with the officials in Nevada. Get them all together and start talking like any team before you go out and play. You got to warm up, basketball, football. Any game, hockey, they all warm up. And boxing, you got to warm up there as well. They get the judges, they huddle together. They talk about scoring. You know, we know the 10-8, 10-7, 10-6. But I'm also going to start talking about what happens. They say you can't go lower than 10-6. Before I said you could go lower than 10-7. They change it because now they say three knockdown rule is up to the discretion of the referee. It's not in effect. It's up to the referee. So if you go down once, it's 10-8. You go down twice, it's 10-7. You go down three times, it's 10-6. So you're not stopping. You let it continue. And the guy gets, you know, he gets it with a punch. He barely touches the canvas. He's not really hurt. But his glove touched the canvas. You got to call it a knockdown.
That's a knockdown, yeah.
And what are you going to do? You're going to stop at 10-6 because they say you can't go lower than 10-6? No. What happens to that point? You got to be a 10-5 then if you didn't stop it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say, well, I can't give him a point because they say you can't go lower than 10-6. Yeah. Yes, you can. Let's say he didn't get knocked down. Let's say he committed a flagrant foul after being knocked down three times. And now you get a two-point deduction. He loses a flagrant foul. He cut his opponent. What are you going to do? Say, okay, watch your head? No, that's flagrant. You got to take 2 points.
Yeah.
So now if it's 10-6, now it's 10-4.
Four, yeah.
You know, so
there's just so many scenarios, and all the scenarios go on forever. I mean, you like you said, no matter how many years you've been doing it, whatever, you can always get better, you can always improve, and there might always be something you haven't seen yet.
Yeah, but that's one of the things that we haven't seen with the cutting down to, say, 10-6 is the lowest you can go. Forget about that. It goes low, it has to go. Because if you're not going to stop it with three knockdowns, then the fighter commits a flagrant foul, that's another two-point deduction from him. Because he wants to retaliate. He can't hit him, but now he uses his head and cuts him. Of course, you got to take two points.
Yeah.
2 points, and that's 10-4.
Well, like you said, when you did Pacquiao Marquez, he went down three times. So if there would have been a flagrant foul or this or that, he would have went down even more.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember in that particular fight, one of the judges called it a 10-7 round. It should have been 10-6.
Yeah.
Two of the judges called it 10-6, and one judge called it 10-7.
10-7.
He said he forgot that 2 weeks before when we had a seminar, that you could go down to 10-6.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, if we would have called it right, Manny Pacquiao would have won that fight.
Would have won the fight.
By one point,
yeah.
You see?
So, and that just goes to show you it's not as easy as it looks, whether you're refereeing or judging or even timekeeping or being an inspector. There's a lot that goes on. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of stress, and you have to stay up on the rules and the different clinics and seminars. And like you said, pregame, warm up, talk about scenarios, and practice. We do a lot of practicing as amateurs here. We're practicing weekly. You know, we try to get in one or two sparring sessions in a week, you know, to practice and keep our skills fresh and keep learning.
Yeah, and keep talking like we're doing now. We're talking about different scenarios. It is what keeps you up on top, you know. You're good here in front of the camera. You're real relaxed. But that's because all comes from as a referee. You learn how to deal with the crowd in front of you. And, of course, you know what you're talking about because you've been in the ring with some of these fighters and you fought yourself. So it's good to be able to discuss with the fans. We try to give you fans out there as much information as we can and share our knowledge and wisdom from our especially me from my fighting days and my refereeing days. So we like to share a lot. The fans want to know what's going to happen next week. Everybody said, who's going to win? Who's going to win, Joe? You know? And I know you like Earl Spence, is it?
My heart's with Sean Porter because he's here, and I know he's your guy, and he's a dog, man. He's gonna put his body on you. He's going to put the pressure on you. But, man, Earl Spence, dude, that guy's a great athlete. I'm just hoping for a great fight and everybody to come out safe. I'm going to give you the political answer there. And I don't go one way or the other. But if I did, I'm going to go with the local guy. I'm going to go with Sean Porter.
Okay. Well, anyway, so we are here in Las Vegas. Can't wait for this coming Saturday for the Staples Center. It'll be a pay-per-view event. Make sure you don't miss it. Joe Cortez here with the Fair But Firm Show, Las Vegas, Nevada, the boxing capital of the world. And remember, guys, keep your guards up at all time, but protect yourselves at all time, because you never know what's going to happen. One day, you're going to get caught with that punch, either left or right. Take care. I'm fair, but I'm firm. Touch them up.
Fair But Firm with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys. Let's touch them up. Team fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair But Firm.